Yes, yes, yes. Welcome, one and all, to another edition of the Center Ring, TCR for short, your favorite esports podcast. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. You can find me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. My co-pilot, my first mate, my rock, my left and right hand man. If you need a water bottle to open, he'll do it for you. His name is Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I've been marginalized.
Hey, man.
I'm a water boy.
You got those soft hands. I can't open it. It would have blown up. You can find him on Twitter at any new.
Brand any new.
So you can do that if you'd like. You can find the show on Twitter at the Center Ring. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your thoughts, questions, anything you have for us. But this is episode 36. Can't believe it. We've made it. 14 more episodes to the 50 mark, which is like some anniversary in some case, I think. We have a hell of an episode for you today. If I dare say, the best one yet. We have tons to talk about. We will always end the show with e-news, compilation of small stories we just don't have the time for, but we feel are necessary to at least mention. Whether or not they are important, that is for you to decide. We had the chance to sit down finally with Ricky Lumpkin, co-owner of Flipside Tactics, defensive tackle of the Indianapolis Colts. It only took 3 weeks and I think a series of 20 plus emails to get it done, but I caught him. The fish was in the boat and I got it. So we had the pleasure of sitting down with him, so we recorded that earlier in the week, and you will be able to listen to that 30 or so minutes of awesome interviewing of all esports all the time. But we can't have an episode today on the July 18th, 2016 at 8:32 p.m. and not bring up Evo, because it just happened last week. Did you like how I hit that hook, by the way? Just right after the song. I was gonna let it happen naturally and act like I've been there before.
But it's too good to
pass
up.
But I need everyone to acknowledge.
I thought you actually used the fader. That just happened.
That was natural. I saw it counting down. I'm going to hit my spot.
Just want everyone
to acknowledge that for a second. But no, Evo, Evolution 2016 was just this last weekend. 3 glorious days of nonstop FGC action. For the record, FGC stands for Fighting Game Community. If you Google it, it will come up with something way different.
Really?
It will come up with...
I thought it was championship.
Why don't you Google FGC and let the listeners know what you find and see what happens?
No, first, fighting Rise of the Fighting Game Community.
Okay. Maybe you have Google safe on.
There is... Florida Gateway College.
No.
Oh, I need to turn safe search off.
Possibly.
All right, well, just know that
it stands for Fighting Game Community and not Female Genital Cutting, which is what I saw earlier today when I Googled it on my work PC and quickly closed the window.
Now I'm curious what else you're Googling at work if that's your first result to pop up.
No, you don't play on Google at work. That's what the cell phone's for. Anyway, so 3 glorious days of, what was it, 5 or 6 games that they ended up doing. This year we had the few firsts. You had Pokken. This was the first year that Evo was able to have it. A modest turnout. It was okay, I guess.
That game's entertaining. I wish more people would play it.
Do you think it's entertaining?
It's got a bit of a niche.
Pokemon, even for a fighting game, has a bit of a niche. It is whatever, but it's Pokemon, so it's going to draw some people away, I think, from that. Me, I really enjoy playing it, but I think it's very boring to watch. Very boring. Just doesn't have the same oomph as others, though. But you had Button getting second and Tonosoma getting that. That's really all I have to say on that. Killer Instinct, I'm not going to lie, I didn't watch any of that.
I didn't even realize they played it. Yeah,
well, it's on Xbox One, and I don't own one. So I'm sorry, Killer Instinct fans. I didn't watch it. All right. But I'm going to get to something I did watch that I still feel very strongly about, even though the FGC is I think quickly and steadily turning their backs to it is Mortal Kombat X, or now that they like to say XL. So the fighting game community, they're turning their backs on it, mainly because the developer, they claim that they released too many patches on it. So like the pros or anything aren't able to like find a rhythm. It's just there's balancing all the time. Kind of like, remember like Heroes of the Storm, where there was almost a balance update every week. So it was like every week.
There was,
week.
Yeah. There right. was literally a balance update every
and
week.
So it was really hard to find like a meta or anything like that.
Yeah.
Well, for this though, it's not good because you can't find your hero or your character or your fighter. You can't find somebody to stick with a rhythm. And so it hurts that community trying to build up when they know they, unless you've been playing from the start and really have something down, it's hard to pick up is right. the point when they patch it.
It's
so
interesting
often.
That they would, fighting games kind of usually have a very set meta when the game releases, like,
well, normally it's a pretty balanced game enough yeah. to where you can, I mean, look at Street Fighter touched on almost every character in the game. And Smash, you have your select maybe 5 or 6 characters people play with, but
Tekken was very, very heavy on a couple characters that got picked way more than everybody else.
So you had Mortal Kombat with a pretty stout lineup. I mean, all familiar faces. Foxy Grandpa actually ended up getting out of the medal. He did not medal in this one here. Some notable names, though. You had Scar, who is now with Panda Global. He got 3rd. Tekken Master got 2nd. Oddly enough, maybe playing the wrong game.
His name is Tekken Master?
Yes.
Good for him.
Yeah. It doesn't play Tekken, though.
Yeah.
Maybe that will change next year when it fully comes released, and maybe people will turn away from Mortal Kombat a little more. But no, he got 2nd. And in the finals, it was a really good finals. Because so he got to the finals on the loser's bracket. So, you know, in this, it's the way that works is if you get through the loser's bracket, you can reverse it and restart the finals.
Right.
So, and that ended up happening. He was in the finals against Sonic Fox, which we'll touch on in a second. Okay.
I already know where that
this
one's
is
going.
Another reason why I have issues watching Mortal Kombat, which, full disclosure, was my favorite fighting game for a long time. But the finals was really good. So you had Tekken Master using Kotal Kahn for the majority in the War God stance, later switching to Blood God when he was having some issues there. Sonic, for the most part, was using Gunslinger Aaron Black, which was the cowboy of the game. Awesome character. It was awesome seeing him not use Alien. A lot of people were surprised by this because Sonic Fox is known for using Alien a lot. And a lot of people don't like Alien because he's kind of cheap.
Like is he the ice climber's equivalent?
Yeah, he's just, it's a lot of cheesing strategy. It's whatever. It's not entertaining. It's not fun to watch.
Right.
Because it's just constantly him spitting poison on the ground, which damages people just for walking in it, which in a fighting game, I don't like that. You should not have something.
It's not an active move.
It's not a combo. It's nothing. You spit it on the ground and now he walks in it and okay, so he takes 10 hit points. So, but he wasn't playing Alien to start. Okay? You had Tekken Master fight all the way through. He restarted the bracket. Everything was going good. It was down to the final game. Whoever won this was going to win EVO 2016 for Mortal Kombat. So what did he do?
Sonic Fox picked Alien?
Yeah, he did. The whole finals, I was like, all right, Sonic Fox, you're a furry, and that's what 2016, you gotta be accepting of everything. I'm okay with that. Whatever. Wouldn't invite you to my house, but you do you. And then he picked Alien. And then I'm like, the line has been drawn. All right.
That's the end of that.
You wanna wear a tail around? You wanna wear fox ears around? By all means,
like,
do it.
That I can forgive.
But you don't.
Picking Alien
in the finals of EVO.
Cannot forgive that one. Cannot forgive it.
Cheese it up. I cannot forgive. And he did it when he was up against the ropes, which I feel like, to me, kind of takes, like, I don't know. Like, I look at Sonic Fox in a way of, he's young, okay, and he's the number one hands down in Mortal Kombat. Cannot take that away from him. I am fully confident, though, that he would have lost Evo if he did not switch to Alien. And it kind of turns into one of those things where it's like, man, I'd like to see you do something other than Alien. Like, right. Win with somebody other than Alien, because he won the Mortal Kombat Pro Tour with Alien all the way through. And it was the same. People said the same thing. He even said it. We played the audio on the show during the, like, post-game interview, post-tournament interview, where he's like, yeah, I know people think Alien is, you know, a cheese character, but hey, he's in the game for a reason, and it's okay. But is it okay? Like, Ice Climbers in Melee, like, yeah, you can do, you know, the wombo combo, but you're going to get judged for it. And I just think it takes it away from the game. Also, I don't like games where it's like Alien has nothing to do with Mortal Kombat. Like, he's
That bothers you?
It does, and I don't know why, but it's like a promotional character.
Right.
It just takes away. It takes away from the feel. Like, if Street Fighter all of a sudden had, like, Bruce Lee in it, it would take it away. Now, they did have, like, in Street Fighter 4, they had a Bruce Lee-type character, but it wasn't, like...
Tekken has a character that's called Law that is a pretty much a direct ripoff of Bruce Lee.
Right. And that's fine if you want to rip it off. I just don't like the straight carbon copy of a Hollywood promotion thing. That's just me.
Gets that marketing twinge to it.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah. And so, again, the furry reigns supreme for Mortal Kombat. And again, I cannot tell my friends to go watch Mortal Kombat because I can't let that be their first impression of esports or the FGC.
Right.
I respect the fighting game community too much to tell someone to go watch Mortal Kombat and then they see this number one player and go, all right, so he's wearing a hat. Okay, whatever. Oh, he's got a tail? Okay. Well, all right. Well, I'm just going to go back to my football now and do my own thing.
No tails there.
No tails on football. All right. Then moving on, though, you had Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom, where Chris G was finally able to capture his victory in Evo. It was pretty awesome to watch there. You moving on here, Guilty Gear. I watched. It's okay.
That's the glowing review. I watched. It's okay.
It's no home team to root for.
You feel me? Yeah.
And then moving on, though, you have Super Smash Brothers Melee. Okay? And this is like one of the premieres of the thing. So Evo does an awesome thing that I love. Personally, I love. Is that like all day Sunday and Saturday night is just top eight. Right? Like it times out very well. To where you can kind of not watch anything the whole time, and then all of a sudden Sunday rolls around, and then that's when you really want to pay attention. You know, it's the you missed the qualifiers, but you're there for the trophy ceremony.
Right.
So I love that how Evo has that timed out, because all day Sunday, that's just what you watch.
And they're all on the main stage, if I remember correctly.
Yes,
right?
They
so
are
you get to see everything.
On Sunday, they're all on the main stage. Saturday, right. They're not. They're in their own little ballroom. Sunday, though, they are on the main stage, and you can watch every game. Like how I said, like Guilty Gear or, Marvel vs. Capcom I like. I just don't understand it nearly as well as I want to. But like Guilty Gear, I watched it. Don't follow it on a regular basis, but it was awesome that it's on the same stream.
Right.
They package it together with Mortal Kombat opening up the day. So that's a big game to where it's a classic, even though this one might not be the public's favorite. It's still a classic. You still have to tip the hat to Mortal Kombat. But Melee and Street Fighter is obviously the power here at Evo.
Gotcha.
Now Melee. Lots of storylines here. One thing with Melee, so I'll just start here. In seventh place, you had West Balls, newly sponsored by G2, Pew Pew You with CLG, Mewtwo King with Echo Fox, lots of new sponsorships. Lots of new. You had Tempo Storm for S2J. Mango was in fourth. PG, Panda Global, Armada, and Liquid. So really, one thing here I'd like to take away that Melee has been, it's an old game, right? It's been around.
We had a big discussion about the differences between Melee 4 and, or Melee and Wii U. And
yes, but Melee has been around for a long time, and there are still top sponsors involved in that, and even new ones getting in. So it's crazy to think that it's still growing where it's at. That being said, okay, Armada and HBox, they were in the finals. HBox won it. We'll get to that in a second, okay? Because after every time they win, they do the big medal ceremony and everything there. Now, I'm not laughing at them and their misfortune, because I understand the Super Smash Bros. Melee, those pros have been there for a while. Like, Mango feels like he could go win every tournament. So getting, you know, fourth place is probably a big disappointment to him. Mewtwo King getting fifth, that's a disappointment to him, because they can easily win any tournament out there. They look so pissed off during that medal ceremony. Like, I feel so, like, the guy is like sitting here trying to give medals, and like, you have West Balls and Pew Pew You, like, they're all like smiling and excited because they got seventh place, and they're like, hey man, I got seventh, I got a medal at Evo. Like, how insane is that?
Mango just wants to, like, take it and throw it on the ground and stomp on it.
Mango just was look like, why am I here? Why are you giving me a fourth place medal? Who cares? Like, I did not get first. I didn't get second. I got fourth place. That being said, though, the finals was by far one of the more entertaining finals of Evo. I'll correct that. It was the most entertaining grand finals at Evo, hands down, this year. So you had Armada and HBox. HBox went all the way through the loser's bracket. So just like in Mortal Kombat, he was able to restart the bracket. So you had an extra best of five. Okay. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Now to restart it, though, all right, Armada was up a stock. Okay. So it was two stocks to one. When HBox was able to kill him and make it a tied one-to-one stock, HBox was at 98% damage. He was on Jigglypuff, of course, Armada on Fox. Like, that should... And this was on the final one, where if Armada would have killed him, tournament's over, yep. Armada wins it, and Hungerbox ended up just getting enough damage. It was like 48% damage on him, and then did up B to, or down B to smack him out of the level, and... GG, we're going to restarting it. And this is another reason why I love Smash, or really any fighting game for that matter. The commentating is just absolutely ridiculous. So you had Bobby Scar and Toph commentating for the Super Smash Brothers Grand Finals. So I have this audio. This is from when HBox ended up restarting the brackets.
Armada not giving him anything. Not
but he gets hit.
He gets
that, that could be it.
Hungrybox sitting back down. What a sequence from Hungrybox.
My God.
Did you hear Scar scream? Let's just listen. It's like in the first 10 seconds. Listen to the scream that Scar does.
Armada not giving him anything. Not
but he gets hit.
He gets...
That could be it.
To reset the bracket.
Just... uncontrollable freak out from Scar, and he did that like all throughout the finals. Like, that's just how he, you know, rather than just getting exciting and talking fast, he can't even talk. It just comes out as a screech, like a spider or something was walking on him.
Always said that about the fighting game community. They have some of the best casters in community. Like, just everyone's so excited for every match that's going on.
Well, so Hungrybox is... He ended up, long story short, everyone knows the results, he ended up beating Armada, all right, again, taking it all the way down to the fifth game in the second best of five set.
Right.
The difference, though, to me was Hungrybox's edge guarding was so on point. Like, once HBox was able to get Armada off of the maps, I've never seen his edge guard being so on point. But it was down to it to where he was taking Armada all the way and fighting him off the map. Because, you know, Jigglypuff, she can kind of fly around.
Right.
It was insane to watch. And they caught up with Hungrybox here after. This was on the score, if you want to go check out the actual video. I have a little 45-second clip here of basically Hungrybox wrapping up kind of what he felt this meant to his career.
It really is the end of an era, I think, the end of a very long chapter. It's 10 years going, gunning for this world title, and I finally got it. And there's so many people who doubt me. There's so many people who don't like me or my playstyle because Jigglypuff. There's a lot of people who I haven't been kind to in the past because I was young and immature. And I've been trying to do my best to just bury all those hatchets and just show who I am through my discipline in this game. And that was my main goal here. I knew that I could come really close and not win, but I think pushing myself to that limit and actually getting the win, coming up above everyone else against all odds from losers and doing what I think is the craziest losers, the only time I've ever won a national from losers ever in my life. I think that's my statement.
So he speaks a lot of truth with that, because I don't know if you remember Hungry Box from back like when they competed at MLG tournaments. He was not a crowd favorite. I remember myself hating Hungry Box, just thinking that he was a D-bag looking dude.
I don't remember that far back. I did see the clip of him after he clinched the win, like going full emotional tilt and like falling over.
He's a crier. He does get, even after he restarted the brackets, I mean, he got up and there's pictures of all frozen and his face is all funny looking, but he even went to Armada and like gave like the 1 minute sign, like, just give me a second, man. Like, let me, my nerves, give me a second to calm down here. So he does, he gets emotional, and I guess some people could get annoyed with that. I could see if you were me personally as a viewer, I don't get annoyed with that, but I could see like if you were Armada sitting in the chair, like, no, bro, I'm not going to give you a minute. But all these guys are friends, so they're not going to do that. Now, after the game, though, and they were all getting ready for the trophy ceremony, you know how I said, like, between fifth and third place, like, Mango and all them looked really sad?
Yeah.
So that video of Hungrybox running around the stage and hugging everyone and just freaking out, throughout all of that, I think it probably tracked down to maybe 4 or 5 minutes of them letting him have his moment. Armada did not move. He did not look up. He didn't wrap up his controller.
He just sat there and like
Armada
stared down.
Just sat and stared at the ground, and I wanted to go up and hug him. I'm like, it's okay, my little buddy, my little Swede. He did not get up until, I'm assuming, like one of the organizers. He always did the trophy ceremonies. I don't know who it was. Until he went up and basically gave him a pat on the back and was like, "All right, bro,
it's time to move on.
Time to move on. I got to give you your trophy and we got to move on." I mean, he could have been a statue. Like, he did not move.
I guess that's what happened. I mean,
you were in winner's bracket.
You were in the finals. The bracket got reset on you, and then you still lost in another match, basically. It's like all you had to do is win one of the last two matches you played.
Yeah, that's it. Just finish it off. Do what you've been doing. Now, he does have company in that sense, though, because Street Fighter V, same thing happened in that. All right, now this was the biggest Street Fighter tournament ever. 5,000 plus, I think it was like 5,060-something contestants. So that is ridiculous. And as far as that goes, I felt like it went out without a hitch, really. Like, you didn't hear too much about Street Fighter. Super Smash Bros. Wii U, which we'll get to in just a second, definitely had some issues, according to Twitter. But Street Fighter V had the same thing where Infiltration ended up getting knocked down to the loser's bracket pretty early on. And he ended up taking Fudo in the winners, restarting the bracket, and same thing winning there. All right. Now, one thing I did want to bring up, I have to pull this up here. So let me pull this up for you. Infiltration now is the number one seed for the Capcom Pro Tour. And it's not even close. Like, that bro is dominating this year.
Is this the first year for the Capcom Pro Tour? With Capcom being involved as much as they were talking about.
Well, it's been around.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is the second year because they did one there. So Infiltration right now is in first place global rankings in the Capcom Pro Tour with 1,664 points. In second place is Fudo, the guy he beat last night, which was aired on ESPN2. Quick note for that, it was good. It was on point for a TV broadcast. They did really well. Mike Ross was on it, though, so he's always really good. Anyways, Infiltration, 1664. Second place, 804.
So he's doubled
from first. Like, just unbelievable. And then you have Justin Wong in third at 724. Justin Wong being USA's shining star. He ended up taking, where did he go? He got 13th for Street Fighter.
And you said he's the USA shining star?
Well, he's third in the pro league, so I mean, he's good. He just did not play well here. Now, one thing though, I think Mike Ross was the one who said this, where this was going to be an interesting tournament in the sense of that you have 5,000 plus people competing. Like, you're going to see some upsets and where people are going to get knocked out where they shouldn't get knocked out at. Like, Daigo got knocked out super early.
Just like, some random kind of freak.
Well, it's just
situation, yeah.
I mean, he was up against another pro, but they're matched up so early on. Like, normally you'd wait till top 16 to see some of these matches up,
yeah.
And they were playing in the top 64. So it's just, it happens with this massive amounts of people. Now then, moving on though, you had Super Smash Brothers Wii U, which that also ended on Saturday. Okay, so that's not quite prime time enough to put it on a Sunday. But that being said, maybe that had something to do with these scheduling issues everybody was talking about. Like, even Zero, another nemesis of mine.
With his scarf, right?
I don't think he wears a scarf nearly as much, but he wears Gunner Optics.
Gunner Optics.
And that's enough for me to tap out. Like, I'm done, bro.
I still see those in Best Buy every time. Like, I just want to knock them off the rack.
They're hardware glasses. Just go buy $5 yellow tinted hardware glasses. That's my struggle since I've been 15 and we started seeing those pop up. But a lot of scheduling issues. Like, I guess they were complaining that, I mean, they would start from 8 a.m. and they wouldn't be done until like midnight, 1 a.m. And then their next match would be again at 8 a.m. the next morning.
I can see that happening with that many games, with that many people.
Well, and that had 26. That 2,662 people signing up for.
Yeah.
Do you have to get through almost 2,600 people in a matter of 2 days?
Right.
So that's going to take time.
Yep.
So apparently they were not happy. Evo is trying to talk to them, see what they can do better, because there are a lot of pros saying, like, I'm probably going to back out of the next Evo.
Just because of the sheer amount of people?
A bit rash to say that you're going to drop out of the next Evo a year ahead. That's probably more frustration.
Right. A
knee-jerk reaction. And of course, if you don't win, of course you're going to be like, well, I was tired. Well, okay, but you also lost. So let's take that for what it is as well. But other than that, Smash U also had a fun little story going along with it. And you actually shared this earlier today.
Controversy. I wouldn't even call it a controversy
point. Yeah.
Because it's Daily Dot reported earlier today of a sexual assault at Evo. And it's not your run-of-the-mill, like, one person accusing another person. This has been confirmed by both the accused and the accuser of actually happening. Apparently, Smash 4 player, or Smash Bros. 4, Christian Hayuga Medina, who was signed to VG Bootcamp, has lost his sponsor after some tweets and such came out.
Like, a couple days prior, correct?
Yeah.
Like, he just signed with them a couple days before Evo.
Yeah, just 2 days prior to it actually happening.
Oh, buddy.
Lost his sponsor. Apparently, he got very, very heavily intoxicated. was invited to stay by two friends, a boyfriend and girlfriend couple, in their hotel room. And in the night, he, while again heavily intoxicated, snuck into the bed and began to fondle the girlfriend. He got in between the boyfriend and the girlfriend.
No, I shouldn't laugh. All right.
It's a serious deal, but
we do a disclaimer here before we break this down? The center ring does not support sexual assault. It is no laughing matter.
Yeah.
In fact, this guy should probably be punched in the face really hard. And there's no time or place in the world for that.
But this situation is ridiculous.
If there was a time and place for a joke, it's right now. So this guy, I mean, first off, how drunk do you have to, like, okay, so at DreamHack Austin, I got pretty shwasted myself. Not once did I think I could shimmy my way into between two people, let alone a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and then try to get some in between that. Like, how drunk do you have to be to not only do it once, but didn't he attempt it twice? Like, so, the first time she was like, hey, no. No means no.
So direct quote from Vicky Kitty, the victim in the situation, said, I fell asleep next to my boyfriend on the bed, and I woke up to Christian in between my boyfriend and I, rubbing against me and sliding his hand up my shirt and down my pants. 15 minutes pass, and I have still not fallen back asleep before Hayuga slides between the person I was on the bed with and tries to do it again before Nick Riddle woke up and kicked him out of the room. So apparently he was told to stop.
Twice. And she gave him a free pass. She was like, yo, I know you just tried touching me when I was asleep. Go to bed. You're drunk. And then the second time, like, just ties the rope in, almost like the scene from Mission Impossible where he's dodging the lasers coming down into the vault. And then all of a sudden he finds himself snuggled in between them and just thinks, I made it, boys. I made it.
All right, so I opened the twit longer. I was reading quotes from the Daily Dot article. Apparently, she yelled loud enough to wake up. That was somebody else in the room, not her boyfriend she was in the bed with, but somebody else in the room. That person came and got her and said, you need to sleep in this bed over here instead of the one that Christian is now in, or Hayuga. She waits 15 minutes, and then the guy goes from the bed with her boyfriend to the other bed that she was put into and tries to get in between her and that guy. So he's literally hopping from bed to bed trying to...
I mean, you know, persistence. I'll give him that. But there's a time and place.
So long story short, they both blamed alcohol. I'm not sure I buy it entirely.
No, I'll give you one on alcohol. The second one to follow up.
And they're hoping that nothing else happens to him. I'm assuming they're not wanting to press charges or anything, but he's already lost his sponsor and he will probably not be able to find another one after something like that has happened. Moral of the story, keep your hands to yourself, I guess. Don't get drunk at esports events.
Or don't get caught.
I mean, that's,
at it both ways.
You can lead him down the wrong path if you want.
Look down both ways. Don't shimmy your way in between the girl and her boyfriend.
Or the girl and her friend that's trying to protect her.
You're probably not that skillful to do that. I'll tell you what is skillful, though, and persistence, speaking of persistence, and that is getting an interview with one Ricky Lumpkin. So this was dated back from when we did the live radio preview on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket, when we did the preview for the ESL One Cologne
Major.
That I tried getting Ricky Lumpkin on to do that show live. Didn't work out. Tried getting him on last week. Didn't work out. So Sunday, he was like, I can do it Sunday. No problem. No miscommunication this time. I locked him in and I held him to his word. We sat down or over the phone. I'm sure he probably was sitting as well.
And we were definitely sitting.
Yeah, we were sitting. And we got to talk to Ricky Lumpkin, co-owner of Flipside, pro football player, everything there. It's all in the interview. We're going to go ahead and play that for you. It's pretty awesome. So here it is. I would like to introduce to everyone here, he's the co-owner of Flipside. He's defensive tackle for the Indianapolis Colts. He's a father, a husband, and he's about the same age as me. So he's a constantly reminder that,
what are you doing with your
what
life?
What am I doing here? It is Ricky Lumpkin, everyone. Ricky Lumpkin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing really good. Speaking of being a father and husband, both my girls are asleep, so I actually get a little me time, and I'm able to talk to y'all and play some games.
That's awesome. Sleep on noon on Sunday, huh?
Hey, don't hate it. Don't hate it.
That's the life.
Long night.
So I want to kind of get in here then, because like you have a lot of titles behind your name. How did you go from pro NFL player to co-owner of Flipside? Because I remember watching you on Twitch I saw, you know, a professional NFL player. I think I saw someone post something on Reddit, and then I started watching you, and then next thing I know, you're co-owner of Flipside.
It was actually pretty crazy. The whole story is I started streaming because a couple of my friends were like, oh, you should stream. People would love your stream because you're really real and you speak your mind and you don't hold back and you're competitive. And plus you play football. I'm like, all right, I guess. So I got into streaming, started playing with a couple friends. Ken Tatman and Hiko and some of my old friends, IRL, and people I played with for a while. And football started up, all that worked out, and I ended up going to the MLG event for CSGO where I met the other owners of Flipside. Nothing happened there. We're just chilling, talking the whole time. Hit it off. Felt like I'd known them for a couple of years. And went to two other majors where we ran into each other all the time, still relaxed and talking. And the third major we met him at, I remember the first time I told him, I was like, you know, I want to get into esports when I'm done playing football and vice versa, get in there. And I want to own a team and get in the whole process. I love esports. I love playing games. I remember playing Contra when it came out, when I was young enough that I can remember, as older than me, playing Mario Kart. Of course, everybody remembers GoldenEye, when there was definitely screen watching now was what it was called then. And next thing I know, we were sitting there talking, and they're like, you know, we have an opportunity for you. All right, what's the opportunity? They said, would you like to become a co-owner of Flipside? I'm like, oh, for real?
that's more than an opportunity, I'd say. Yeah.
I couldn't turn it down. I hit it off with them. I knew where they were at in the Counter-Strike scene, middle tier. Not considered T1, but considered T2. But I saw the potential. I saw the owners. I knew that what they wanted to do with the team, and I trusted them, and they trusted me. And I said, look, I can help bring a certain aspect to the team that you can't get. I know what it takes to get to a high level. And I told him, I was like, I'm not a superstar. I'm not anyway famous, but I've somehow spent 6 years in the NFL. I've been in the league since 2010, so I know something about getting to the top. And I've played with guys that won Super Bowls, and I've broke this whole thing down to them. I was like, look, if you listen to me, I can help you. And it just took off. And ever since I've joined, Counter-Strike team's improved in areas where now we just, matter of fact, we got legend status from all the hard work from the players and management and everyone from the bottom to the top, meaning we're going to automatically qualify for the next $1 million major. And it feels good. And I'm happy. Like, I can't complain. And I'm F3. The whole family's F3. We wear hats. Heck, I even wear the F3 jersey to the gym to work out in when I'm lifting weights. And people ask me all the time, what is that? And I break it down to them. And I've actually got a couple of other guys in the NFL interested in co-owning or owning a team.
Oh, wow. I was actually reading a story earlier this morning about some NFL franchises wanting to sign Madden players, too. So it's kind of interesting to see the world start to overlap a little bit.
It was going to happen. It shocks people. And a lot of times in streaming, everyone's like, why aren't you working out? Oh, no wonder why the team sucks, because you're over here playing games. I'm like, y'all have no clue. We're regular people. Everyone plays games. Who doesn't? Like, my generation came up with Nintendo 64, the first PlayStation. Like, we played games. Like, everyone I know in the NFL plays games. They just don't play PC games. They don't stream because a lot of people don't know about it. Or they're just not wanting to do it. But I said, everyone plays games. Like, and plus, I'm human. I have off time. I don't want to lift weights 24/7.
The day's 24 hours. There's, right. I mean, you streaming at 10 o'clock at night does not mean that you didn't work out earlier. It's a long day.
Oh, it's funny. They crack some. Why are you up? I'm like, I lift at 11 or I lift at 7. I can stream and stay up late if I want to. I'm grown. I know how to manage my time.
One thing then that I wanted to bring up, because you mentioned how Flipside, you know, tier 2, if maybe there was a tier between 2 and 1, I would say that they kind of fit there in the sense of, because people think Flipside, okay, they're not a top tier team. Okay, we get that. But they have qualified for every CSGO major. That has to say something then about the caliber of the organization, to where there's a lot of teams out there that wish they could be qualifying for all these majors. So as they poke fun with Flipside, that's something that they can hang on, you know, their wall, saying like, hey, we've qualified for everything, where there's some teams, I don't want to point fingers, Cloud9, but they haven't qualified for every major.
And I know guys on pretty much every pro NA team, and I get into it with some people on stream because I don't care. I'm going to we're going to speak our mind. There's a reason why you have to click that mature audiences button because we're going to talk. And people say, oh, y'all suck. I'm like, oh, we suck. I said, but we've made every major. Well, you've made every major and got out. And just like you said, I'm like, well, there's a lot of top teams, tier one teams, even ones that are supposedly ranked ahead of us that don't even make every major.
So
what do you have to say about that?
I'm reminded of the Cloud9 interview and nothing from Yahoo Esports last week, where the host, who had no idea what he was asking, asked nothing why he was not at the $1 million major that was going on, but instead he was watching an LCS event. It's like, it's because Cloud9 did not qualify.
Very, very uncomfortable interview.
I bet that was really uncomfortable.
I don't know why he asked it.
So funny. So funny. And then, I mean, you mentioned now, flip side is legend status, so congratulations on that. What's the feeling like knowing that the organization, I mean, how do you think the players are feeling knowing that, hey, we have something to work for now? Like, you see the target because you already can mark that major on your calendar saying this is what we need to get ready for.
I think it's, I think the players are handling it great. One thing I did tell them, because I wasn't able to attend, was, I'm like, you got it now. Now you have to keep it. Can't be a flash in the pan, and we can't go back to just making majors and excellent group. Now we have legend status. You got to keep legend status. Isn't that going to be an easy event? And especially this one was even bigger because if you look at the next qualifying, the teams that are out that have to be in it to qualify, it's going to be hard. That's basically two majors in a row. Whoever's in the last chance qualifier to qualify for the major. There's a lot of top 10, top 5 teams in that category, and it being one of them because we took the legend status from them. So the boys know what they have to work for. I believe in them. I trust them. And they finally got that taste. I think the only other one, actually the only player we had that's ever got out of group stage until now was Markelov.
And then everybody else is new.
Feeling for. Well, then everyone else is like, what? We're out of group?
You got World Edit setting records now in E-League, too. I mean, you guys are kind of starting to click on several different fronts for this.
Yeah, we are. And the sad thing is, you bring up E-League, is we literally just got eliminated out of E-League, which was a shocking 2-0 defeat to Renegades. And some people say, oh, you were jet-lagged and this and the other. But at the end of the day, you can't have any excuses. You lose, a loss is a loss, and a win is a win. You have to show up and play the game. They showed up and played and beat us. We showed up and lost. So that's how I see everything in esports and in the world of my sport, football. There's no gray area. A loss is a loss, a win is a win.
Branching off of E-League then, since we brought it up, I know you tweeted some on the decision of removing LG and SK Gaming from the league. And at the time, everybody wanted E-League's head. Like, they were the enemy, and you were one of the few tweets that I saw that kind of leveled things out, saying when you look at it from a distance, it makes sense. I mean, did you want to break that down a little bit on how you saw their decision to remove those two organizations?
Yeah, I can break it down to the best of my ability where I won't confuse people. I see it as they see. We'll compare it to football is what I play. And some people want to say, oh, you can't compare it to this, that, and the other. But I'm like, well, you have to look at what you're trying to do with Counter-Strike. Everyone, including me, wants Counter-Strike to be considered a real sport. To be considered a real sport, you have to have rules and regulations. This is what you had to do with a roster. They broke those rules. Both teams did. Like, they're both at fault. Everyone's at fault in this process. In all honesty, both orgs and players screwed themselves out of the tournament. LG entered the tournament. I think SK was also in the tournament, but they had their set five. I think you were only allowed to have five players, and you had the two subs, and you traded your entire team to another roster that was out. E-League said no. That's like the Patriots making the Super Bowl. I've said this in a tweet, and trading all their players to, we'll say, the Titans, who didn't make the playoffs, but then all of a sudden, everyone expects, okay, since all the Patriots players are on the Titans are just going to go to the Super Bowl. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. LG had the spot. That's LG's spot. Just because they traded the players doesn't mean SK can just jump in and take off exactly where LG was. It doesn't make sense. If you wanted to be considered a real sport, if you still wanted to be considered a game among people in America that are watching it, and they're like, what? That don't make sense. It doesn't work like that. The guys were on the team that made the playoffs. They should have stayed. I think they personally should have stayed the whole just through E-League. They'd be like, all right, after E-League, we leave. Because this wouldn't have happened.
And I don't disagree with you on that. Out of all the parties involved with this, I feel like LG was the one that got kind of screwed out of it, considering they didn't even know at the time that their roster signed with another organization back before MLG. So if anything, now LG is the one, the organization, Luminosity, is the one getting removed from the league, when at the time they really had no power over their team signing with SK.
Right. LG did end up taking that buyout, though, to let it all go. So they could have held on to the team a little bit longer, I think.
I think when they all look back and they see what happened, everyone's going to wish they would just wait till E-League is over, which is a huge tournament, especially in America, to get it out there and you get more publicity in America. And people are going to be pissed at me, this, that, and the other. But I'm just telling you what I know from playing professional sports is you can't do it. It doesn't look right. Cause if you allow one time, it's going to allow a lot and they're going to nip it in the butt. But I did say, if you did want to make it right some way, then fine. Then you give them, if they traded all their guys to SK, they take SK spot. If SK was in the last chance qualifier, then they're in the last chance qualifier. But if they're not, they weren't in it at all, they get eliminated, then they're eliminated.
Right.
Then at the same time, LG forfeits their spot. At the end of the day, LG screwed no matter what, unless you're going to let them get players, but the players can't come from a team that's obviously in the tournament. You have to get guys outside of the tournament.
Yeah, I think it was Tim mentioned while we were talking about that. The hard part with that is you start bending the rules like that, and you got to start finding out when it's going to stop, right? So I'm with you with the rule set. Like, they had this set rule. They broke it. Sorry about your bad luck. You know, read the contract next time, I guess, before you make a roster move like that. But
yeah, I agree with you 100%. I understood it. And people kept comparing about how, oh, but there's trade deadlines and this, that, and the NFL and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, exactly. There's no trade deadlines in esports, but if you read a contract, it tells you when your roster has to be set. So why would you make a move?
That's always been that's one of my favorite parts about esports, and this is probably a function of it being such a new thing, but the community does have a lot of effect on, like, the organizations and the tournament organizers and stuff like that. So I was actually proud of E-League a little bit to kind of stick to their guns with this one and go by the rule book. It makes it a little more stable, I think, and in the long run is good for esports like that.
Oh, I love it. I think it'll nip that in the butt, and you won't see it happen again, just like the whole gambling thing going on right now. I agree with everything Valve is doing. I agree with Twitch. I agree with the whole aspect. I agree with all that. I haven't sent a tweet out about it because I'm friends with a lot of streamers and whatnot, and I didn't want to argue with them over social media. But I can tell you, I agree with every step Valve, Steam, CSGO, and Twitch has taken to stop gambling. And I can break that whole process down, but that might be for another time, but it's up to y'all.
I mean, it's your day. If you have the time, I would love to hear your take on that, because the gambling in CSGO walks the line of, does it affect esports or not? You have some people saying that, you know, well, the only reason people watch CSGO is for the gambling, which, hey, that might be the case for 1%.
I mean, it was interesting to see actual CSGO gameplay at the top of the Counter-Strike Global Offensive channel on Twitch for a while when the betting got banned officially instead of Phantom Lord opening cases.
And the thing with the gambling is, like, what I'll say, the reason I'm happy about it is there's no rules and regulation to the age limit. I don't think it's a great example at all for you having 10-year-olds, 10 to 14, 15, even 16. I'll go all the way up to 17 because they're not legally 18. Getting a bad habit of gambling where they're just gambling. Okay, you can say it's virtual money, but to get virtual money, you have to spend real money. I personally know kids I've played with a lot consistently that are in my Discord that go gamble like hundreds of dollars. I'm like, what are you doing? or they're spending money to go buy cases, and then, or they're spending money just to go buy that knife to try to up their odds. It's horrible. Like, you're setting a bad example for young teenagers that don't need to know that. That's why I never gambled on my Twitch. I never will gamble. I've been approached by gambling websites. And have I thought, about it before? Yeah, because I thought about getting the skins to do a giveaway. But I, at the end of the day, I just was like, that's not right. I can't do it. There's too many kids out there that watch, and then they see it, and they're like, oh, I want to do it. Like, oh. And then you learn that some of them had rigged sites. So the whole time, you're over here gambling, think you're going to win, and you're actually never going to win. So I back it 100%. Now, if you can find a way to back it up where it's legalized, where you say Wild Shuffle or whatever website out there you have, they find a way to link your account to your Steam ID, but you have to put your social security number in or your driver's license number in, something you can't forge or fake to prove that you're of legal age, then I'm for it. Gambling's a part of sports, always will be a part of sports. I think it will come back in the CSGO where it's going to be able to be legalized. But it just has to be run the right way. And right now, it was like the Wild Wild West. Anyone and their brother could get in there and do it. And you had just little kids that were just being addicted to gambling that should not be addicted to it at all, because that's just horrible for them. And their.
Uh-oh. Do we have you, Ricky?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought it dropped. Okay. I think, and you've said the word, right, you know, has to all be regulated in some way. And I think, overall, the gaming industry and esports, it's one that it's a weird conversation where people are like, oh, this new thing, esports. Esports has been around technically since like Pong. Like, since someone got salty about losing at Pong, esports and competitive gaming was a thing, but it's just never been regulated in the sense of where now you have people who are, I mean, E-League, for instance, has an actual commissioner to it. It's not just some guy who started a LAN center and decided to wing these rules out of nowhere. Everything has to somewhat be regulated in a way, and I feel like it's going to be a bumpy road, but it's going to be somewhere where esports has to take it. I mean, even when you start down to I'm interested on your take then with the broad title of player unions in esports.
I think there needs to be one. I think it'll be hard. It's just going to be difficult because of how broad it is. Every sport, there's four major sports in America, and every one of them has a player union. Just like the only worldwide really known big sport is football, European football, play everywhere, internationally, the whole nine. I don't know if they have a player union over there, but I think they should have one because there's so many tournaments and this, that, and the other. You can get things done with one, but this is going to be a process. It's going to be a fill-out process. It's something new. And they'll all change around. And it's something they're all going to have to get used to. But that's the next step in esports as a players union. How will it work? How will it happen? I can't tell you because I know I won't be in it because I'm not a player. But I think they do need one. When it comes down to rosters, wages, tournaments, the amount of tournaments, the amount of time it takes to travel from one tournament to the next, that's all going to come down to the player union and the tournament organizers. I think there are a lot of tournaments. I would love to see all of them be under one body, just like you have NCAA is the best example. Like, you might have, let's just say it's called esports, and they're all branched out, right? Just like the NCAA has 10 to 15 different conferences, but you still have Counter-Strike under esports, but it has all the tournaments are run just by Counter-Strike, the game itself. The CSGO, Valve runs all of them, and you just have little branches off like bowl games. I think that would help out a lot because then everyone could be on the same page. Tournaments won't overlap. You won't have people flying overnight to another tournament to play one and flying all the way back home in a week. It's a lot of stress on their bodies and mind.
And speaking of, I'm interested too with the flying and international play. Counter-Strike or esports, I should say, is unique in the sense of they do like one weekend they'll have a tournament in Atlanta, and then next week or even 5 days later, you know, I mean, we'll look at Flipside. I think it was 5 days between being in Germany and then being back in Atlanta for E-League in a matter of five days.
I think that's crazy. But at the end of the day, you have to show up and play. That's what you do it for. But I think that'll get fixed down the road, because that's going to become like, that's between the tournament organizers and not overlapping and working with each other. But the chance of that happening is slim to none, because, you know, everyone wants to make their money. So
every tournament thinks they're the most important tournament is what that boils.
Exactly. We're worth 1 mil. Our tournament is giving 1 million. Well, ours is going 1.4. Well, ours is 500, but we have this, that, and the other for player accommodations and blah, blah, blah. So it'll be interesting, to say the least, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see how much esports grows, and with the whole back to the betting thing. I think it's going to take a little hit. Everyone's been talking about, oh, without this, Counter-Strike is going to go dormant. No, it won't. It's just going to take a hit, but it'll come right back. You'll see. Like right now, I'm on Twitch and I'm looking. Counter-Strike is the second most viewed game. Right behind it is Mortal Kombat. Of course, League of Legends is the top dog at 120. Right now, Counter-Strike's at 68,000. So,
and that's saying something, considering Mortal Kombat, that's Evo. I mean, that's the biggest fighting tournament there. And Counter-Strike is still up, which I assume is what? The iBuyPower Summer Invitational? Which is like tier two.
Ladder.
That's like tier
right
two
now,
NA. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So even there, I mean, those aren't top tier teams playing in Counter-Strike, and yet it's still there. Counter-Strike was the here before gambling. It's going to be here after.
Exactly. So Ricky, exactly. This is going to take a little hit.
You worked you worked MLG Columbus, didn't you? You were volunteering for that tournament.
Yes.
What do you think about how much the players are playing on those long weekends like that, where they're doing those tournaments? Like, how many hours did you see them putting in to compete in those?
It's an all day thing. If you've watched, if you know, or remember when you were a little kid, if you played baseball or AAU basketball, something like to that line, where you might have multiple games, you're in there, you'll play, you have time to relax. You're not going to leave the arena. You'll go get some food, you'll go in your room, you'll sit down, chill, and you just go warm up for about an hour and a half, then you go play again. It's an all-day thing, but if you win, you get to leave.
Right.
You get to get your games over faster, so it's more incentive to where if you lose, of course, you're going to have a longer time there. So you got to take care of your business. I just know they put in a lot of hours, a lot of work. And you can tell majority of the teams that work harder and take their time. Like, I was there. I'm not going to say the teams, but I can see which teams and know why they were where they were at compared to the ones that were just a flash in the pan, or they could be better than where they are because of the preparation they took.
All right, so the reason I was asking, whenever we mention esports or that we are going to go watch a tournament or something, somebody's always asking us if we're going to play. We're like, no, we're not going to play, because the amount of time these people have put in practicing and getting to where they're at is not something you can easily replicate or easily do. I was kind of curious of the comparison between what you see with esports players playing as long as they are with like your experience in football. Is there kind of some similarities between the practicing and playing there at all? Or are they, you know, putting in less, more?
There's definitely similarities. It's going to sound weird to some people, especially like other athletes that are listening. There's a certain talent you have to play Counter-Strike. Like, Counter-Strike's the main one I watch at a really, really high level. Not everyone can do it. I can't hit a Windig to save my life. But you see all these other pro players doing it, or if they hit no scope, it all is talent. They practice, they put the hours in. You go look at their Steam profile, they have 10,000 hours now. They have those. If you're only at 1,000, that's not a lot. Are you serious? Go look at the pro players' profile. You can see how many hours they have in the game. It's just like how I sit there and I'm at practice all the time. I'm practicing 3-4 hours a day. I'm lifting 2 to 4 hours a day. I'm running an hour out of that lift. That's what I have to do. Just like they're on, even though they're streaming and they're playing matchmaking pugs or rank S, they can be goofing around. But the thing is, they are literally working at their craft at the same time, keeping skills sharp, even though they're playing around with friends or whatever, that's still helping them out. Like, I don't lift for fun. I can go out there and hit bags and goof around and teach some little kids I do. But at the end of the day, I'm still working on it because I'm not going to go out there and embarrass myself. So it's really similar.
And since we're on the conversation of practice and prepping, I have one last question here so we don't keep you too long. When we're on the discussion, and you might have a unique outlook on this, like you do really, because you live both sides of traditional sports, esports. You also live on both sides of NA versus EU Counter-Strike, because you are North American, and I know you are fans of a lot of North American teams, and yet you're co-owner of a predominantly Ukraine team. Where do you sit in that debate? Is there real any difference between NA and EU preparation? I know some people say it's because the talent pool here is so big.
It's not the talent pool. I think it's more of...
I mean, is the comparison even warranted between NA or EU? Because, I mean, now Liquid is... You know, they made it to a finals. That's something.
You can say play style in a way, because then you can look at Liquid's coach. He's from Brazil. He helped, what is now SK, get to where they're at. They had Simple, who was a Ukrainian player. I think it's more play style than anything. When you look at our play style, we would do some random, which helped Liquid out. We'll do some random stuff where you just look and it's like, that's an American. That was a real American. Where the Europeans are a lot more conservative. They don't really push here and there unless you're Virtus Pro. There's a lot of times you'll see us push smokes a lot. And it's just American play style. It's more play style. I don't think it's anything with talent. There's plenty of talent in NA. It's just meshing it and the cohesion. I think the Europeans just have better cohesion and they have better teamwork overall, and they don't make the mistakes that we make. But the talent, no, not at all. There's plenty of talent. Talent is not a problem. It's just the cohesion part and working together and sticking together and believing each other. That's what it comes down to.
Well, man, that's awesome. I thank you again, then, for taking your time out of your Sunday for doing this. I know we've been emailing back and forth and some failed attempts, but I'm glad that we were able to do this today. What's next then for you, or what's next for Flipside? I guess, when does camp start for the Colts? That's got to be coming up.
Yeah, I have 9 days left. This is my last week of work.
We got in the interview just in time.
Yeah, you got to get that.
I could do more of them actually during camp, and it's easier to talk during camp because I have time off and it's just going to be me. Like, it's going to sound bad, but my wife and baby aren't going to be with me. I'll just have 1 hour, 2 hours off, and it's easy to do it then. Because like I said, I can't go anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. So it's really simple, but,
what's the streaming situation going to be? We got a gaming laptop.
I have a gaming laptop I gave to my wife. I have my main gear computer that they sent me that I stream with. My streaming computer I can also play games on. It's a little box, so I could take that with me. I'll try that, but if not, I found out how to stream from my phone. So I'm going to try to stream from my phone here and there just to stay in contact with everybody on Twitch. Everyone's like, oh, you should just use Periscope. I'm like, no. If I can stream to Twitch, I'll use Twitch.
Yeah, get that. So what you do then, I'm just throwing this out there, tape your phone to your helmet and then stream on Twitch. That's next level. That's fine. That's fine. I'll buy you a new phone for the sake of that experiment.
Yeah, we'll take it out of the show budget. Like, don't worry.
It's like the ghetto GoPro. You just tape your cell phone to your helmet and then you're good to go.
Just go. That'd be nice. Especially like over Twitch. Like, oh my God, we're... I wouldn't last through individual.
Do they have a pro football channel on Twitch yet? You could start a whole new channel.
That would be really nutty. the chance of that happening is going to be, we will be long gone and turned to dirt if that ever happens. That'd actually be really fun to have. Like, if you had a channel like that, where you just had a GoPro or something, and you could see from a player's perspective during practice or a game.
Yeah.
That'd be actually pretty cool. But that'd be hard to do, and all kind of big bucks at Twitch and the NFL and all the sports would have to work with each other on. And let's just say that'd be really hard to happen in general, but it'd be fun. That would be actually pretty cool. That's what I'm streaming from my phone, especially like if I'm in an apartment or whatever, and people get to see some things that go on, not everything, but they can see like the living situation. And it's, oh, this is what our rooms look like for training camp. You know, this is what I have here. I'm on a little single bed at home. I have a king, but now I'm on a single. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to give people a different perspective, especially on Twitch and that Periscope. Because again, everyone that watches me on Twitch, so you got to stream to Twitch.
It's going
to
be a different world. I mean, there are some people, oddly enough, who probably only know you from Twitch and Counter-Strike and Overwatch.
Oh, very true. Very true. And it'll be interesting for them to see. Yeah, there's a lot of guys that, some of my subs, and I'm shocked to have 104 subs now. They're like, oh, I don't even know you play football. I'm like, that's good. I don't tell people I play football unless they ask. It don't bother me whether you ask me all the football questions or not. Like, I just love playing games. I'll answer anything you want. So it's like I have an open door policy in my channel. And if you've been there, you know, it's always AMA. People ask me all kinds of things.
It's great. It's great. I mean, I stare at your face on a nightly basis, Ricky. We can get weird on this one.
You definitely know how intense I can be. And I can tell you, I'd say it right now, I'm probably the most competitive person on Twitch.
Yeah.
There's not anybody.
You know, it's rough when you go silent. And that's how you know it's real.
I go silent and I just try to just shake my head just in disbelief.
The other day, I don't know, and I don't want to keep you too long. The other day I was watching you play Rocket League and you had one guy on your team that had 0 points like 3 minutes into the game. And it was rough because I know the feeling.
Like, yeah, and I think I said something to him. I was like, I can't do it. And I just switched. I think I just turned it off one time. Like, I told y'all, if you leave the goal open again without rotating and talking to each other, I'm going to show you exactly what's going to happen. I started streaming iRacing, and I play with them all the time. And I told you, like, we had this conversation. Communication is key. But, like, if you're not going to talk, I'm not going to play. I'm going to go play iRacing. Something to calm me down because, you know, if I mess up in that, it's 100% my fault. And I love iRacing.
Oh, that's great. That's why I like fighting games, because it's just on me. I don't have to yell at teammates. If I suck at it, it's because I suck. That's good. Real quick.
Oh, I'm back.
One thing, though, before we let you go, I have to get this from you. It's basically a radio liner. It's an audio autograph, if you will. If I could, can I just have you state who you are? So, you know, I'm Ricky Lumpkin or whatever. And you're listening to TCR.
I'm Ricky Lumpkin, and you're listening to TCR.
Awesome. Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Professional. It's almost like you do it for a living.
Right.
So again, we can catch you if any of our listeners are interested, twitch.tv/lump, right?
Correct.
Lump. All right. It's not Lump TV anymore.
So nope.
They got that. That's how you know you're big deal, when you can get your screen name switched on Twitch.
I've actually had it switched 3 times.
Whoa. That's how you know it. He knows someone in the front office, Ed, that's for sure. If you make, normally Twitch is like, I'm sorry, you made that spelling mistake and you will live with it. So twitch.tv/lump and on Twitter at Ricky Lumpkin, oddly enough.
And that's perfect. And you'll hear my daughter just now waking up.
Oh, perfect timing. Well, then, Ricky, it was awesome talking with you today. I appreciate it. I wish Flipside nothing but the best. And we'll have to do this again sometime down the road, okay?
Anytime. I'm saving your number.
So awesome, man. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. You have a good one.
All right, Lumpkin. Have a good one, man.
Thank you. Bye.
And once again, that was Ricky Lumpkin sitting down with us the other day to talk some CSGO, some overall esports, his take on some of the hot topics going on. We definitely appreciate him coming on the show. I thought he was an awesome dude. Good dude. Let's get on to E-News. I'll start off here. Speaking on Evo, I didn't bring this up during the Evo segment, but they did announce that Evo Japan. That's all they announced, though. More details are to come. I don't know if this is replacing Evo, if this is going to be a small, like, are they going to do one, you know, or is Evo going to have multiple events? I hope.
Maybe they're trying to split it up because of the number of people. Like, there were a lot of people coming over from Japan.
Yeah, I mean, tons of, this is the one that you want to travel to.
Yeah.
Because if you get top eight on this one, you're getting noticed.
Right.
Like, hands down, noticed. Because it's all the games, right? So if it was just a Guilty Gear tournament, probably not a lot of people watch it. But if it's a tournament with every game, people are going to watch it. I don't know. I think it's cool. I hope it's not just a separate tournament, though. Like, if it is going to be Evo Japan, I maybe have, like, a Japan tournament and then, like, this one. I don't know. My issue is I really like Evo being Evo. And I don't want to split it up into, like, four different events through the year. Like, majors, you know? I enjoy it just being part of the Capcom Pro Tour for Street Fighter. It doesn't mean anything more. It's just a stop in the tour. And then for these other games, it's a big tournament. It means a lot to a lot of people. But I don't want it to be watered down by Evo Europe. And you know what I'm saying? I don't want that. But we'll see. Who knows? They just announced that it's Evo Japan and that's it. What did you have?
So I'll just start with some good news. Premier Spanish Football League LFP is preparing to organize an esports league. News story from our good friends over at Esports Observer.
An esports league?
League, yes.
Not just getting teams, but an entire league.
Not a team, but an entire league.
Does it say what,
esports? I assume it's going to be for FIFA. I assume it's going to be for FIFA and going to be something that they use to help market their league to, you know, another generation of soccer fans.
Branching off of that, then I want to bring up my next contribution then. So the NFL, there are some teams that are kicking around the idea of starting up their own esports division and signing on to pro Madden players. I can't tell you how not interested I am in like teams picking up FIFA members and Madden players or whatever. You know, like,
right.
Like you hear about all these, like people are like, oh, Manchester's getting into esports. I'm like, sweet. I cannot wait to see like Manchester and Counter-Strike or whatever. And then they're like FIFA. And I'm like, oh
yeah, it's a lot of people. When I say esports, some of the first things that come to mind are Madden and FIFA. And I'm like, no, I mean, I know I said the word sports and you think video games and sports, it must be sports video games.
And I can't explain to you why I don't think that, because yes, it is competitive. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Yes. By definition, you are correct.
It's like, but that's not what I think of when I think of esports.
It's not. I just don't like that branch over. And if, like, to me, I think it would be really cool for the Dallas Cowboys to get a Counter-Strike team and call them the Dallas Cowboys. And then that way, Dallas
has love to see a regional team
to root for.
Yeah, a regional Counter-Strike team would be so cool.
I think that, and it doesn't even have to be like people from Dallas. I mean, sure, get simple for all I care.
Yeah.
But make it Dallas brand, and that way you can get people in Dallas rooting for that. And all it takes is one. And then all of a sudden you see New England coming in, and then Redskins, you know, like all these people are going to be starting to do it once they realize that they can make money. That's what it boils down to.
Yep.
And if they can branch out their brand, why not? And Dallas Cowboys just got the number one most valuable franchise.
Sports franchise?
In the world.
Really?
Yeah, I don't have the dollar amount in front of me, but yes. So if there's one team that can do that, the Dallas Cowboys are the ones to start. Huh. So Jerry Jones, when you listen to this podcast, you let me know.
More in the world of ridiculous amounts of money. Phantom Lord is the latest victim of the CSGO gambling scene controversies. Has been linked to, if not heavily involved with insider knowledge, maybe part ownership of CSGO Shuffle, which is another betting roulette style Counter-Strike website where you put up skins to bet. Of course, he did the same thing all of the other ones did. He claimed to have found the site. Hey, look at the site I found. Was playing it on his stream and in those YouTube clips. Later to find out that obviously he has a huge stake in people using that website.
Way. Yeah. Go figure. That guy, I've never once watched his stream, but I've never once seen him actually play any game other than gambling.
Yep.
So good luck. with your future endeavor, sir. I hope you fail. My last thing, though, speaking of ridiculous money, League of Legends has reported that supposedly they make $150 million a month in worldwide revenue.
The game does?
Yes.
That is ridiculous.
So the next time you hear someone say, like, well, League of Legends is dying out, just remember, is $150 million a month dying out?
Think about it.
Think about it. I'm dying, pretty happy with that.
Speaking of dying MOBAs, Blizzard, who have killed their own game with Overwatch, Temple Storm just recently teased that they will be adding a new Heroes of the Storm roster, which is very surprising considering every Heroes of the Storm news we've had in the past 3 weeks has been rosters disbanding. So they have plenty of players to pick from. Who knows how long it'll last?
Well, the one thing to do, though, with Tempo Storm is that their owner is Rainer, and he's big into Hearthstone, so maybe he feels an attachment to Blizzard, and so he feels like, you know. And they were at one point in time number one in Heroes of the Storm.
They were good, so yeah, they were very good.
Just as an organization, they feel some responsibility to the game to be like, hey, that we were on top at one time. But I agree with you. To do a teaser for a game that, you know, pulls 20,000 views on Twitch at their primetime tournaments. You know.
Yeah, all one of the primetime tournaments.
We'll see how that one goes. We could be wrong, right? Twitch doesn't necessarily make or break anything. But doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt. Speaking of dying, this show is dead.
It's done.
Episode 36 is over. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, check out Ricky Lumpkin on Twitter at Ricky Lumpkin. Check him out on Twitch, www.twitch.tv/lump. Let him know your old friends here at TCR, the Center Ring, sent you. Maybe he'll give you like a high five or something. I don't know.
If you ask him what he thought about the show, he will give you the truth.
Yes.
The real answer.
Yes. And if it's bad, don't tell us.
Don't want to hear it.
Just bury that deep down inside and lie to us. But I hope you enjoyed the show. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at Pirate Mushroom. Brandon is at BrandInnyNew.
Got it right this time.
You can follow the show at The Center Ring. Let us know what you think. You can follow our website, www.tcr.gg. The Ricky Lumpkin interview will be up on YouTube. Not necessarily up-to-date episode list, but we'll get around to it. We're busy people. And Adobe Premiere is awful. That's just my opinion. So that will all be up on the website shortly. Until then, thank you so much for listening. Even if you clicked through, if you made it to this very point where I said thank you, no, I love you. And we will talk to you for episode 37. Until then, have a good one.